appreciate several mothers. I had one biological mother who was a great mama. A lot of times I didn't appreciate her, especially in those times when she had that peach tree switch in her hand. And she would used it pretty regularly. She would not have had to use it near as often had I learned earlier to respect and honor her. But I had a lot of mamas that loved me enough that they would discipline me. I grew up in the day when discipline was discipline, when we still used belts and switches and those kind of things. That's a lot of the problem today, is it's not being used enough. But it wasn't used only at home. If I happened to be somewhere else with somebody else, with another family, then those parents knew that they could discipline me and that my mom and daddy was not going to get mad with them because they put a whooping on my behind. And the same went true if friends of mine were over and they misbehaved, they got a whipping just like we did. And it hurt for a little while. And the Bible talks about that, how that discipline hurts when it's being given. But in the future, you'll be glad of it. I'm thankful now. I never appreciated the first whipping I got from Mama or Daddy, and I got plenty of them. I never appreciated them when I got them, but now I appreciate every one of them because I know what it saved me from, where I could have been if it were not for parents that loved me enough to do what the Bible said, and that was discipline to me. And so I appreciate them. And I know you appreciate your mothers. And we remember them, honor them, and I appreciate Jimmy Dean's song and what he said that reminds us so much of those things. Came across an illustration as I was preparing this sermon. I've mentioned it before. I think it's been a few years. But I want to remind you about that again today. It's about four preachers that were standing around talking, and you know how conversations go and eventually drifted to shop talk. And so one of the preachers said, "Well, you know, I prefer the King James Version of the Scripture, and 'cause you know it's of its eloquent use of the English language." Another preacher said, "Well, no Bible could really match the New American Standard for its faithfulness to the original Greek and Hebrew text." "That may be well," said the third, "but I prefer the New International Version for its contemporary language and easy readability." There was a thoughtful period of silence, and then the fourth preacher said, "I like my mother's translation best." It was with some surprise that the others said, "Well, we didn't know that your mother had translated the Bible." "Yes, she did," he replied. "She translated it into her daily life, and it was through her translation that I came to faith in Jesus Christ. I am a recipient of my mother's translation of the Bible. And how thankful I am for that. Actually, for a double portion of that. My biological mother, and then a little over 54 years ago, I got another mother, some people call it a mother-in-law, named Miss Ruth Nelson, and she had her translation of the Bible, and the two went along side by side. I enjoyed those. They knew God's Word, and they lived God's Word. You could watch either one of them and learn what the Bible says, because they practiced it. Not just while they were at church, but 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. They lived their life according to God's Word. There's another saying that I've heard many times that says, you're the only Bible some folks ever read. And if that's the case, the question is, what do a lot of folks know about the Bible we read by watching our lives? This morning I'm going to look into Proverbs. We're looking at several scriptures throughout the Bible, actually. It's not just all Old Testament stuff, because some think, well, you know, that's Old Testament. That's old. That don't apply anymore. Well, the fact of the matter is it does apply, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. But this particular scripture, a lot of this scripture is, we'll see in the Old and New Testament. But in Proverbs chapter number 22 and verse number 6, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. There is a prescription for raising children there in that verse. There's two ingredients that are revealed. First of all, there's a command, and then there's a promise. The command is to train up a child in the way he should go. The concept of that training is dedication. You know, a parent who is dedicated to properly training a child. And that must begin with the dedication of the child to God, to dedicate that child to God. The parent must realize that the child belongs to God, that child is given to parents to be good stewards of that child. God allows us to have children so that we can take care of them, that we can raise them up and train them up. In 1 Samuel, you read about a woman named Hannah. Hannah was childless, and she prayed for God to give her a child, and she promised God that if he would give her a child, that she would dedicate that child to him and to his service. She did. God answered her prayer. She gave birth to a son. His name was Samuel. And she did as she had promised God. She dedicated that child to God and to his service. And Samuel was a man of God who was faithful and did serve faithfully in God's work. Hannah did what she promised to do. She dedicated that child to God. But first of all, before dedicating a child to God, we must dedicate ourselves to God. I've had people come from time to time and wanting to dedicate a child, and I am all for that. But before we dedicate that child to God, you know, we need to understand what we're doing. We are making a promise ourselves as parents that we are going to live for God, that we're going to set a godly example before that child and train that child up in the way he should go. And so before the child is dedicated, the parent must be dedicated and committed to living the life that God has called us to live a life according to the Bible, to train that child up in the way they should go. There's instruction involved. It's the responsibility of the parents to instruct. or to cause that child to learn everything necessary to please God. And we do that by setting the godly example. You know, it's not do as I say do, but it's do as I do. Follow my example. And so parents need to be godly parents, and they need to be setting that example, and that way they can be training and instructing those children up to follow God's word and God's will. And so too many times we want to tell our children to you just do as I say do, not as I do. I always think about a little situation where one of the many times in life I've lost my mind. I had a friend, a very good friend. As a matter of fact, he was here last night, and as we had our sing, and he was wanting a red oak snake, and I happened to find one there on my place one day, and so I lost my mind. I was working for Gulf Power Company. I had a service truck that I drove home. Went got my gloves. You know, we had long rubber gloves that went up above our elbows because of handling high voltage, and then they had leather gloves that went over them to keep from tearing the rubber. So I went and got them, and I got me a forked stick, and I pinned that snake's head down, and I reached down and got that snake. He was a huge snake. I mean, huge. He was ever a bit of that long. I got him behind the head and picked him up and got him in a jug, and my nephew was watching. And the whole time I was doing that foolish thing, I was telling my nephew, Richard, don't ever do this. Don't ever try this. Now, what do you think he learned? Do you think he learned not to ever fool with a snake? No. Because I was doing it, you know, and I should be, if I can do it, he should be able to do it. And so, that's the way it is, though, with us. A lot of times we do things, we have bad habits, and we tell our children, don't you ever do this, you know. Well, that's not the way we teach them. The way we teach them is when we don't do those things, and we teach them not to because they're following our example, we stop those bad habits, and we teach them not to pick them up by not doing them ourselves. And so there is that instruction time, and then there's the motivation. It's my understanding that when a child is born, the doctor, nurse, midwife, somebody stimulates the palate of that baby so that it will begin to take nourishment. It's the responsibility of the parents create a taste or a desire within the child that he is internally motivated rather than externally compelled to do the things that please God. So it's our responsibility as parents to create a desire for them to learn God's Word, to obey God's Word, to do things that are godly and that honor God. That's our responsibility as parents. We need to do that. We need to teach them in that way. However, sometimes the external compelling becomes necessary. We call that discipline. It's in short supply nowadays. But it's something that the Bible tells us to do. It's some of that scripture that we seem to want to leave out nowadays. Like Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, where it says, he that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes or early. What does that mean? It says that if you don't discipline your child, then you don't really love them. That's the Bible. And if you love them, then you're going to start discipline early. You know, we experienced that. I experienced that as a child. And it never ended until Mama went home to be with the Lord. You know, I never got too old for Mama to discipline me. A lot of children think they're too old to be disciplined. They're not. You know, that's the responsibility that we have as parents, to discipline them. And the earlier we start, the more effective it is. Don't wait until your child's 15, 16 years old, embarrasses you in Walmart, and then want to snatch him up and beat him half to death. That'll get you in trouble. But if you'll start disciplining them when they're babies, you will earn their respect, and you won't have to worry near as much about them embarrassing you in Walmart, because they know better. They've been taught better. And so we need to understand that. This is Bible. If you love them, you're going to discipline them. And so, and then in verse number 11, let's move over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Moved over to the New Testament now. See if it's still relevant in the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." What does that word chasteneth mean? Where I come from, that means he whoops them. Okay? So, whom the Lord loveth, he whoops, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening or whipping, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Lord or the Father chasteneth not, or does not whip? And drop down to verse number 11. It says, "Now no chastening, no whipping, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Exactly what I mentioned earlier. Never got a whipping that I really enjoyed at that particular moment. Mama used to whip me, and she'd say, "Son, this hurts me a lot worse than it hurts you." And under my breath, I'm thinking, if it hurt you half as much as it hurts me, you'd have quit a long time ago. Never did I breathe that out loud. But I really thought it to be true. But you know what I found out? I found out Mama wasn't lying. When I started to discipline my sons, I found out. It hurts. It hurts the parent. If you love the child, but if you love the child, you're going to do it. Because that whipping's going to hurt for a few minutes. But if you don't put it on, then they're going to suffer for life, because they're going to be making bad decisions that should have been stopped with a whipping. But when they didn't get the whipping, they didn't stop. And so they suffer the consequence. Too many parents are setting up their children for failure because of a lack of discipline. Discipline is not against the law. Too many parents use that as an excuse now. Oh, you can't whip your children now. You know, DCF will come and take your children away. No, that's not true. If you do it properly, if you start when you need to start it, if you start, like the Bible says, betimes or early, that means at a very early age, if you start that discipline, you'll gain their respect early, and then you put it on like it needs to be put on, okay? And it's fine. I've seen law enforcement. I've been there when law enforcement has been called and there's been a whipping, and the child's wanting Mom and Daddy arrested. And I've seen a deputy say, you did exactly what you should have done. The difference is maybe you didn't start early enough. You know? And that's the problem. But this is Bible, and if it wasn't the right thing to do, the Bible wouldn't tell us to do it, would it? The Bible says we need to discipline them, and that means, you know, not just setting them in the corner or not just taking the TV away from them. It means putting a whooping on them. The reason discipline is not used more often is because it's inconvenient to parents. Because it does hurt parents, you know. We don't even take things away from them because that puts us in timeout as parents. You know, if I tell my child, you can't watch TV this week, then what I got to do? I got to stay there and make sure the TV don't get turned on, right? Yeah, well, I don't want to stay there. I got things of my own to do. Let him raise himself. That's not the way it needs to be done. We need to understand when we bring children in the world, there's a responsibility that comes along with that child. So, there's that responsibility. And there's then the recipient of the training. That's the child, or dependent. And as long as the child is dependent on you, he is to be the recipient of training from you, no matter his or her age. My daddy used to have a saying, son, as long as you put your feet under my table, you're going to live by my rules. There's a lot of homes that need to establish some of those rules. There's a lot of homes where the children are running the house. And that's not the way God designed it. Okay? God designed for the parent to be responsible. And so, we find that in the Bible. That's not just McVeigh theology, okay? In Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, and in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Again, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, we've moved to the New Testament now. Exodus and Deuteronomy is in the Old. Ephesians is in the New. Ephesians 6, verse 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. How important is it to honor your father and mother? Exodus chapter 21, verse 15 says, and he that smiteth the father or his mother shall be surely put to death. That's some pretty serious punishment, isn't it? If you slap your mama or daddy, the Bible says you put to death. Of course, that's Old Testament, right? In verse 17 there of Exodus chapter 21 says, and he that curseth his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Pretty serious. Jesus tells us in Matthew 15, verse 4, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. It's pretty serious. Children need to understand there's some pretty serious consequences to being disobedient, to cursing their mom and daddy. I've heard that done. I've seen children slap a mama or daddy. And what did the Bible say? The consequence of that is death. That's pretty serious. Okay? So, parents, don't deprive your children of the opportunity of discipline. It'll save them a whole lot of sorrow in the future. Because if you don't teach them to honor you as a parent, to respect you as a parent, they will never respect anyone in authority, and they will suffer pain the rest of their life. The content of the training. The way he should go. He said, train up a child the way he should go. The idea is that each step of a child's development, the parents are to dedicate, instruct, and motivate the child to do what God's called and equipped them to do for him. Joshua illustrated that when he said in Joshua 24:15, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There needs to be some rules set down. And in this house, we're going to serve the Lord. Okay? You put your feet under my table, you're going to honor your parents. You're going to respect your parents. And you're going to be involved in God's work. You're going to know what God's Word says. And then there's the promise. Finally. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. You know, I used to think that meant that if you train up a child the way he ought to go, that he's not going to ever go off and do anything he shouldn't do. And I proved that wrong. You know, I proved that that's not true because I have done a lot of things that I was certainly not trained to do. I've done a lot of things that I was taught absolutely not to do. But I've never, ever done any of those things and been able to enjoy it because there was always that little voice saying, boy, you know you ain't supposed to be here. Boy, you know you ain't supposed to be doing this. Because of that training that was instilled in me that I was taught. And so, he's not saying that if you train them up the way they ought to go, that they're never going to go off and do anything they ought not to do. But they'll never go off and do it without being haunted by that training and that teaching. They'll be reminded they're not supposed to be doing that. And they really won't be able to enjoy it. You know, some of those times when we thought we'd go out and have a good time and do some things that we knew we weren't supposed to be doing, they turned out not to be enjoyable because of the upbringing that we had, because we had been trained up the way that we should go. And we couldn't get away from that. My mama raised 9 children. Well, she tried. Some of us ain't raised up yet, but she did her best. She trained us up with her translation of the Bible by living the Bible before us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. From the time we were born until she left this earth on the day after Christmas 2016 at the age of almost 96 years old, she was faithful to God. And to God's Word. She trained us that way. And because of that, those 9 children are still involved in God's work. Most of them are there pretty much every time the door's open. A couple, because of health issues, are not able to be there as much now. That's a pretty good record, I think. And it's pretty good evidence of what the Bible tells us to do when we train them up the way they should go. When they're old, they'll not depart from it. We make mistakes. Oh, yes, I've made plenty. You know, I put a lot of gray hairs in my mama's head. Peach trees, I found out, do real good when they're pruned often. Because ours got pruned often, because that was Mama's switch of choice. Nice little keen peach tree switch will wrap around them legs, and it stings. It hurts. it's not easy to forget. Okay? I'm thankful. Thankful for a godly mother. Let's do our best to be good godly mothers or fathers, or good godly sons or daughters. Obey the Bible. Do what the Bible says. Parents, train them up the way they ought to go. When they're old, they'll not depart from it. They won't forget it. Children, obey your parents. Honor your parents. So that you can live long on the earth. It'll do you good. If you learn to respect your parents, you'll learn to respect others. And it'll get you a whole lot further in life, because the more you respect people, the more you will advance in life. The more you'll be able to get the things that you really desire. The more you'll be able to accomplish the goals that you desire to accomplish when you have respect for others. No matter who they are, you'll have respect, but it starts with honoring and respecting your mama and your daddy and your grandparents or whoever it is that raises you. Maybe a foster parent. It may be an uncle, an aunt, or you know, grandma. Grandmas are raising a lot of children nowadays. Okay? You honor that person that's putting their life into you, that's raising you. And if you'll learn to honor and respect them, you'll go far in life, because you'll respect others. Father, we love you and thank you. Thank you for our mothers. God, I thank you so much for godly mothers. Lord, not only my biological mother, not only the one that would be referred to as my mother-in-law, but many other mothers, Lord, many who have been a part of this church. Lord, thank you for them and for the example they've set and the encouragement they've given. And Lord, thank you for the discipline. Lord, the fact that they love me enough to correct me when I've made mistakes, and I've made plenty. Father, help us to be godly parents, grandparents, godly friends that love our children enough that we will train them up the way they should go, by setting a godly example before them, by disciplining them as your word teaches us, and by training them to honor and respect not only us but others, so that they will be able to live long on earth and be respected as they respect others. Thank you, Lord. We pray for each one that's here. There's one here that's never trusted you to be Savior and allowed you to come Lord of their life. I pray that today be the day of salvation. Or we've all made mistakes, and or there may be somebody that needs to just recommit their life. Or maybe we haven't been the parent they ought to be, the child they ought to be. Lord, whatever the Holy Spirit is dealing with the heart right now, Lord, as we take this opportunity, speak to hearts. Help us, Lord, to respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name and for His sake we pray. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. Music's playing. If you're here and God's spoken to you, if there's something that you need to do, something you need to take care of, maybe that you need to just give Mama a hug and apologize for not being the child you ought to be in, son or the daughter. Maybe somebody that's never trusted Jesus to be Savior. Today would be a good day to take care of that. You slip out from where you are and come forward. I'll be glad to pray with you. You don't need to confess anything to me. We'll confess it to God. God will forgive you. He'll save you. Make a new person out of you. Anyone, before we close, any decision need to be made,